Okay, my friends, and we are back. Good morning. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Let me just finish this here. So everybody's on the same plate with what's happening today. Today we have got a really special treat in store for us. I have to tell you, I highly regard any input from producer Jerry. And producer Jerry had told me about old Damigard. I will find out how to pronounce his name properly because I know how challenging it is with one of those tough names. I have one of them. Anyhow, this is someone who is really quite accomplished, quite interesting. Let me give you his basic information. It's short right here. So, here we go. And in his own words, my name is Ole Damigard. I'm a prize-winning author, investigator, former journalist, etc. For more than 30 years, I have worked very hard on solving the mystery behind the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, something that has turned out to be a very dangerous task and has cost the lives of some dear friends. And not only does Mr. Damigard humbly believe that he's now managed to solve one of the century's biggest murder mysteries, his extensive research has also revealed incredible links to other big political events like the killing of JFK, John Lennon, Robert Kennedy, Che Guevara, Salvador Allende, Pablo Neruda, and many others, as well as the cold-blooded sinking of MS Estonia, taking almost 1,000 innocent lives. He's made hundreds of international radio interviews on stations like Project Camelot, The People's Voice, Red Ice Creations, No Lies Radio, and The Real Deal, which has caused a tidal wave of international interest. Mr. Damigard is totally dedicated to revealing the New World Order's agenda, including false flag operations all over the world. It is important to point out that he is not here to spread fear by exposing the truth in whatever form it takes. His goal is to prevent the so-called global elite from turning this beautiful world into a scary, controlled, and fearful place. We all deserve so much better. It's time to stop the madness. Well said. Wise words. This will be quite a lot of fun for us in just a few minutes when I bring on Mr. Damigard. And I'm looking forward to this. It's just, you never know once you have a fresh perspective. Uh-oh, we got breaking news. Thank you, Nighthawk. Let's see. Texas Rangers have been deployed to defend the border. The border states have been forced to move their own personnel, including the legendary Texas Rangers, to the border in the absence of federal law enforcement. This is outrageous. This is outrageous. Where is our government? Wow. And the state militias are heading that way too. So, great info. Thank you so much for getting this to me right away, Nighthawk. I'm just wondering, what do they want us to be distracted from? What don't they want us paying attention to? We were supposed to have these drills taking place in Houston. Had to do my due diligence and have a shout out to our good friend John B. Wells, to make sure that he was going to be safe and sound over this weekend. Gosh, this part of what takes me so long in the morning, guys. Pardon me, I'm all over the place. I've got to have all my drinks, from my green drink to my specialty to my lemon juice to some of my other herbal mixtures. Takes up a lot of space. You would really be surprised. And it sure makes commercials necessary. What can I tell you guys? lots to be aware of. There's so many levels of things. It just is mind-blowing. Okay, Hawk is sending me a file. Let's see. Okay, this is a picture taken at the center? At a center. Okay, I don't want to misspeak here. Wow. I have to see if anybody's posting anything else. So that's from a U.S. Air Force base. Okay. Oh, my God. This is a border site? If you're listening, Hawk, please let me know. This is a border site? They're using chemicals? Is that why this infant has this horrific rash all over its whole body? Oh, my God. Gosh, yeah, it's hard to, I can see the little pustules. It's just hard to tell what kind of a rash it is. So that's a scabies rash on this infant. So I'm to assume that the baby with scabies is because of the crowding, which I'm looking at in the pictures, with people lying on top of each other, alongside of each other. There's no real room to be moving around. And this is at one of the border sites. And many of you have heard about what's going on with the thousands of children that are sent to cross the border. And we have to wonder, excuse me, what's real and what's not? What are we being manipulated with? And what are we not? Very, very dicey stuff. Wow. That is a sad commentary with all these children in what appear to be really filthy surroundings, but at least it's shelter. Guys, you know, when you really have to learn how to assess things. And, you know, things look terrible, 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 but then see what is being left, what you are traveling away from, and you're making progress. And it's always important to have... Gosh, guys, the right kind of language. You don't want to rain on people's parades endlessly, which I've got to pay a lot of attention to. You want to pay attention, and you want to make a difference, because that's something we are all able to do. We're able to make a difference. We're able to reach out to others. We are able to join together, and the future will be regained by all of us working together. And that's it. Plain and simple. Very basic. It just takes all of us working together. And with that, we can most definitely make miracles. So, pay attention, guys. Look for those opportunities. Remember the power of a smile. Oh, my God. And when you say hello, how are you? And you start up a conversation. Excuse me. You find out, what do you think about things going on in our neighborhood? And here in Albuquerque, we have got a lot going on in our neighborhood, from the Kirtland Air Force Base jet fuel leak that's spreading under the city on a deadly path to encounter the water reserves. Okay, the groundwater is being threatened. It is getting closer and closer. There's constant, continuous, how do you like that for redundancy, contamination from Sandia National Labs. There's airborne release of americium, and you got to ask yourselves why. No amount is acceptable. Why is this being allowed? How did everything get turned upside down, inside out? Crazy. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at crazy. And they're trying to keep the pressure on for intensified crazy, guys. That's what this is all about. And that's why you must have a strong center. You must be prepared. You have to have food. You have to have water. You have to have the items that are needed. And only you know what they are. You know, there are some generalities that can be given, and that's all well and fine. But you got to know what those basics are. so that you're prepared for your family and yourself first. Then you can think about what can you trade with others, how can you help other people. But you've got to be very, very practical and very good at assessing how many different functions can I get out of this bottle of hydrogen peroxide. Well, if you're wondering, get over to Google and look it up, because right now I am bringing on Ole Damgaard, and we had his introduction, and we have more information to share with you. But I'm really eager to hear what is going on, because as I showed so many of the audience, the problems that we face here are being faced in countries around the world. We are equally at risk. We are equally being taken advantage of. The wars are on for water and for so many things. Okay, gotta give me a moment here. Sometimes I stumble with my Skype add-ons, but all good and all working. So I'm pleased to hear that, and I'm pleased to see that. But a big thank you to our audience. You have made us the number one listener-sponsored network on air. That's you, our audience, voting with your dollars, and it means the world to us. We want you to know that. We want you to know how much we appreciate your involvement with the network. And right now, we want to welcome Ole Damgaard. It is such a pleasure to have you on with us. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Dr. Robin.
Robin is fine.
Okay. Okay, Robin. Robin it is.
Okay, let me get everything plugged in here properly. Okay, so we're sounding good. I've been looking at some of your information. Is the sound quality all right for you?
It's perfect, thank you.
Oh, good. Okay, same here. Same here. So I was telling the audience a little bit about you and some of the work, and it seems you have become like so many of us, what can I say, intrigued, or it just becomes too much in our face that we can't ignore it anymore with all of these different events. So it seems that what we look at and we see is the common threads, you know, the common threads between murders like that of JFK, RFK, and I know you're connecting these in a very interesting way with others as well. So we don't have video because it's kind of early in the morning for me. So you're not going to see me in my pajamas, I'm sorry. They're flannel pajamas because even though it's July, it's cold here.
I bet.
So, okay. So how has your day been so far?
It's been good. The thing is that I'm not sort of like a newly awakened person. I've been down this road for about 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's, I think nowadays, or these days, are really an amazing time to be alive, because there's this incredible awakening going on at the moment in many, many different countries. So for me, this is a super optimistic time to be alive.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's time of change and of people taking back their power. For me, it seems the only way that that can happen is by working together. Where are you living? What country are you in, if that's relevant?
I'm living in Spain because I spent almost... it was around 12 years that I looked into the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme.
Mm-hmm.
And that research took me down a very dark and quite dangerous road. And unfortunately, I lost two friends that were murdered in awful ways.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But that's part of the game for most of the people who have gone this road. And it came to a point where I felt threatened as well, and so we left Sweden, and now we're living in Spain since 14 years.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, you know, it's interesting. I wander into different books, different things, and I remember some years back when the trilogy came out about the girl with the tattoo. The girl with the dragon tattoo, all three books, and there was a lot of reference. If you need time, I've got some other things I can get to. Do you want me to come back to you in a few minutes?
Would that be possible?
Yeah, of course. Just tell me what you need. It's fine.
No, because I thought we were on in 2 hours, so I'm a little confused here.
Oh, no. It's 10 a.m. Eastern time that we're on.
Very sorry about that.
My apologies. Yes.
No, if you could give me just 5 minutes and I'll just reboot in another room and I'm fine. Then we can go for as long as you want.
Whatever you need. So we'll hang up right now. And when I see you come back online, then I'll add you to the conversation.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
That's perfect.
And I'm sorry about the confusion. No.
It's the time zones are always so difficult.
I know, and I tried to get past that, but I didn't. So I'm sorry. I work at it.
No problem. Huh. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay, guys, so we will let all get organized. And then I shall get him back on the line. And once again, I find his work quite intriguing because, you know, I have to tell you, it's not, I'm trying to think of the right word for it, but it just pretty soon, as you look at these different examples of things happening around the world, you start to recognize, wait a minute, it's happening in the United States. Okay, why is it happening in Sweden? Why is it happening in Germany? Why is it happening in Greece? Why is it happening in Cyprus? What are they doing in Syria? What are they trying to do? The other war they're trying to start there. We know how long they've been trying to start another war with Iran. We see efforts. We see all of these efforts on the playing field, across the board. If you had an event room, a strategy room where you'd have everything on big maps and you could see what's going on around the world and who's in place here and who's in place there. What's the risk assessment? What are we facing? And that's what it comes down to, guys. What are we facing? Because as so many of you know, the lie is different at every level. And that means that you just really have to question everything because the manipulation is so sophisticated that people are told whatever it is that they need to hear so they will get out like good little workers and follow the recommendations that were made to them. And that is not what we need for the kind of society that we, the people, want. We need involvement. We need incentive. We need innovation. We need understanding. We need awareness and dedication and commitment and perseverance. Guys, you gotta stay with all of this and follow through because there's just too much that is going on that we need to follow. And let me make sure he knows. Okay, because I start talking and who knows what can happen, as you guys know, because I just keep talking and that gets carried away. Okay. Okay, so everybody knows what's going on, and that's all good. And it's, I have to tell you guys, you see, this is what the challenge becomes. I'm telling something to all, and then here I am trying to think, now what did I say? Because I'm talking and typing and doing three things at once, and that gets to be quite a challenge, talking and typing and doing three things at once. So let me give him just a few more minutes and we shall see how that goes. His website, okay, is lightonconspiracies.com. There's a list of the many books written by him And oh, I like the way he thinks. I like the titles here. Let me see if this is okay. His website is different. It opens differently. Okay, so one of his books is Coup d'etat in slow motion, and that's about the assassination of Swedish Prime Minister Olaf Palme. And let me get to the others. Okay, now he's going to be signing off and signing back on. All good. All good. I just have to make sure that I'm doing everything I said I would be doing. Gets challenging. Then there's another book, and his books are, or at least some of them are available as ebooks in PDF format. And it makes life a lot easier for more that are able to take the books on the go with them. Now, my apologies, some of this is in what appears to be Swedish, or it could be in Danish. I don't know my Scandinavian languages that well to recognize the difference here. So, okay, but we have an expert who is back here, and he knows the language. And he will help us out. So let me get him back in the conversation. And here we go. Oh my gosh. All the behind the scenes things. And it's terrible. I'm so embarrassed about this time thing. Yeah. So I do try to make that very clear. And my apologies. Could you give me the correct pronunciation of your name, please, first, before I butcher it?
My name is Ole, like the Spanish Ole.
Oh, and then, okay.
And then Damegård, if you change the A for an O, it's Damegård.
Damegård. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
It actually means the farm by the little lake.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
It was my granddad who took that name. So.
And your family is originally Swedish or?
No, Danish.
Danish, okay.
Danish, but I grew up in Sweden. I left when I was 8.
Uh-huh. And what was it like? I've never been to Scandinavian countries yet.
What was growing up
in
there?
Sweden, yeah, until you were 8 years old, yeah.
First, up until eight years old, I grew up in Copenhagen, so that was midtown, right by the airport. And then when I was 8, we moved to right out in the forest in Sweden, where there was about 1 kilometer to the nearest neighbor. So it was a massive change, but a really beautiful change.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what was the weather like? What are the winters like? Are they as long as everybody has heard?
You know, Sweden is about 2,000 kilometers from the south to the north.
Mm-hmm.
So the climate is very different in the south to the north. So depending on where you are, it can get freezing, I tell you. But if you're down south, it's not that bad.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
It's the same distance from the south point of Sweden. If you go the same distance instead of north, you go south, you get to Rome in Italy. So it's a long country. Very narrow, but long.
Yes, that's a great example. I had no idea. Thank you. That really made it clear.
And there's only about 9 million people.
Yes.
There, so most of them in the south.
Yes, that I'm aware of. Our friends Lana and Heinrich Palmgren from Red Ice have been telling us about what goes on there for years, and it just has been a shock to hear how extremely brutal the attacks are on the Swedish people there by the immigrants.
By the immigrants?
By the immigrants. Oh, tell me another story, please.
That is not something I know about, but I just know that what I look into normally is the New World Order, their agenda. And I find that Sweden has been one of the places where they do almost like test runs. They check it out, how different tactics will work. They test it out in Sweden. If they get away with it there, then they just move on to the next country. Because the Swedish population is a very afraid of conflicts and very easy to adapt, you know, as long as they they got the latest high-tech gadget, they will not put up any resistance. They will hardly even know it, I tell you. So I believe that is the reason why they test things out there. If you compare to Spain, for instance, where the temperament is a lot hotter, you know, the Latin blood, you wouldn't get away with things like that that easy. So,
interesting, interesting. Well, lots going on, lots to watch. So, yes, I know the PSYOPs approach to see what you can launch in other countries before you go take it on an international scale. So that's a biggie. I wasn't aware that Sweden was one of the test countries. I guess they must change all the time.
It's my opinion, and it's Henrik agrees upon it as well. They tried out many different things, you know, with the digital money, for instance. Nowadays in Sweden, you can hardly use normal money anymore. The banks won't, many of the banks won't accept normal money. And they also did it with chipped passports and other things like that. They do it. I would say they like in Cyprus a year or two ago when they just closed down people's bank accounts, that was also a test run, I would say, just to see, okay, in a limited area on an island, the island of Cyprus, we put a couple of military ships, vessels around the island just to check, you know, we have troops in the nearby, just if there's any kind of uprising or anything like that. And then, okay, 1, 2, 3, shut down the bank accounts and let's see what happens. Are we going to have massive protests? Are we going to have demonstration? Are people just going to lie down and accept? And so they did a run there, and I think they do it like that, you know, try it out on a secluded area where they can control the event, and then if it goes well according to their agenda, they move it on.
Interesting. We're at the bottom of the hour, and I think I will have to call you back because the station has to get a new connection. There's a problem on the line, Ole. So if that all works, I will be calling you right back as soon as I'm back.
You're most welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much, guys. Stay with us. Lots to learn, lots to hear, lots to share that will increase your power to go out and make it better. You guys have got to be more active. You've got to use these abilities to get our world back. Stay with us, people. We are back. Oh my gosh, guys, what a start. What a start. And how unfortunate. It's the first time that we have Ole Demgard on with us. And let's get things on a better balance. We've got lots to learn. Oh my gosh, this man is so interesting. His research is truly impressive. And we're going to be getting to some of it right now as soon as I get him back on the line. And I want to hear about this other group. Are you back with us, Ole?
I am indeed.
Oh, thank you. Okay, sorry for all the confusion. It does happen to everybody from time to time.
There you go, part of the game.
Yes, yes. So you just mentioned before about this group you referred to as the 40. Would you like to just jump in? I'll leave it up to you. How would you like to set the stage?
Okay, like I said, I spent 30 years of my life looking into these conspiracies for no personal gain except for finding out the truth, and it's cost me dearly. Like I mentioned, I lost friends, I had to leave the country and so on. I'm just saying that to show that the things that I present, it's not coming out of thin air. I really put a lot into it. And one of the things that I found after doing major, massive research into the JFK, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X.
Okay, guys, hang in there. We might be having some buffering problems. Nope, I think his signal just went
to be a connecting red thread is a group called Operation 40. Operation 40 was a group that was created by under the supervision of President Dwight Eisenhower. And the idea was to create a group of top assassins that could be used internationally. The main target they were aiming at to start with was Fidel Castro. And the guy that was given this task was Vice President Richard Nixon. So under Richard Nixon's supervision, they put together a group of hardened CIA veterans like Ted Shackley, David Attlee Phillips, E. Howard Hunt, and other people like David Morales and so on, to recruit mostly exiled Cubans, in mostly from Miami. And these people went under the name of Operation 40 or Group 40. They were about 80 people, so the name isn't really appropriate. But they were trained in everything from jungle warfare to blowing up things to poisoning people to any type of things that had to do with death. They were the guys to do it. And first they were aimed at Castro. Then when JFK became more and more unreliable on their behalf, I'm talking about the New World Order and the group, the so-called global elite, behind many, or I would say more or less all these atrocities, then they changed the direction, the aiming of this cannon, and pointed it towards Kennedy. And if you look at the Kennedy assassinations, which I've spent so many years, and I can tell you, I would be able to name all the shooters, all the spotters, all the breakdown guys, getaway cars, you name it, around this assassination. And a major part of the people involved in the JFK assassination were people directly from Operation 40. Not that they were the one planning it, but they were part of carrying it out.
I think I find the most amazing thing is that it actually ever happened, that they, you know, in spite of themselves, that it all came about. I mean, it just was so precarious the whole time, everything getting put in place for the Kennedy assassination.
It was called a big event. It was the biggest one. They call it the grandmother of all operations. It's been used as a learning example for snipers and assassins for decades, you know, because this is the way how to carry one out. And I would humbly suggest that the Kennedy assassination was a coup d'etat of the United States and a big part of the rest of the world as well, because this group that took over, that were behind this assassination, has stayed in power ever since and are behind so many of these so-called terror acts, wars, civil wars, financial collapses. You name it, these people are in it. So that is why I've spent so many years trying to expose what is going on, who the members are, what methods they are using, and so on.
So who are the members of this group of 40?
Group 40? I can tell you one that you know right away. His name was George Herbert Walker Bush. That's George Bush Sr. He was the paymaster for this group. We're talking now in the very, very early 1960s that this was put together, late 50s, 1960s. And one of the guys behind it were the later the director for the CIA, Alan Dulles. He was very much involved in setting this group together as well. And the people central in this group, you have like Frank Sturgis, you got David Morales, Felix Rodriguez, Portugas, you got Barry Seals. These people have been, when you look into the JFK assassination, super central. When you look into the Robert Kennedy assassination, they were there. David Morales, who is one of the higher officers in Operation 40, he was present at the Ambassador Hotel together with two other high up CIA ranking officers. David Morales was also later named the top assassin of Latin America, and he was the guy sent together with Felix Rodriguez down to Bolivia to track down and kill Che Guevara, who was one of Fidel Castro's closest associates. And Felix Rodriguez was for all the decades that have been since then has been George Bush Sr.'s right hand, more or less, when it's come to carry out black ops and assassinations on a global scale. He's also one of the key people in the Iran-Contra scandal, working right side by side with Oliver North and many other people.
So the same players.
The same players. Then you have the killing of, I mean, it just goes on and on. The Watergate burglars, all of them part of Operation 40. Okay. And the reason for the Watergate burglary was to cover up Richard Nixon's part in the JFK assassination. He got freaked out and sent in his team. Because the thing is that this team has been very successful at what they're doing. So they just kept them. You know, I heard an interview with one of the people and they said, but why do you use the same people over and over again? And he just answered, why change a winning team?
That's a good answer.
Good answer. And I mean, that is, if you get a good hairdresser, you stay with that guy. If you get a good mechanic, you stay with it. A good dentist, you stay with it. For this group, a good team of assassins, stick with it. And so these people have been incredibly central. I tell you that once you start looking into these so-called conspiracies, so-called terror acts, so-called assassinations or assassination but done by lone crazy guys, every single time almost, I've been able to track it down to the same group from many, many of them. You got the blowing up of Orlando Letier in Washington, D.C. I don't know if you remember, that was the biggest national terror act before 9/11.
I didn't remember that one.
They blew him up and they killed one of a woman as well who was in the same car. Same people. Mm. The guy that supplied the bomb, his name was James Files. James Files is the shooter behind the picket fence, and the guy who in Dallas, and the guy who put the bomb underneath the car, his name was Orlando Bosch. He was present in Dallas at Dealey Plaza. He was also called Dr. Death, and he was sentenced later for hundreds of terror acts. I've got on my website, lightandconspiracies.com, in my book, Coup d'etat in slow motion, I've just shown what type of people we're dealing with. And when it comes to Orlando Bosch, I've just been listing the things that he was sentenced for. And it's just page up, page down, page up, page down, page up, until he was finally put in jail and then released and pardoned by, guess who? George Bush Sr., yeah. Who keeps on popping up again and again as the guy who they're under his protection.
Yeah.
And this George Bush Sr. or the Bush family, when you look at what they've been involved in, I mean, it is unreal the level of criminality this family has been involved in. Unreal. Especially George Bush Sr. The other ones are like amateurs, but Sr., my God.
No, he's had his hand, yeah.
And his father, Prescott Bush, was actually the paymaster for no one less than Adolf Hitler. He was the one, not his private money, but he was the one funneling the funds into the German war machine, into companies like IG Farben. That was the whole build-up, the whole war machine actually was coming from that power structure. He was later accused for treason just after the Second World War when they were trying to sort of confuse the public into thinking that they had nothing to do with Hitler. And at the same time, they started Operation Paperclip, which was to let a few people take the blame in Nuremberg, a handful of low-level generals and some of the top ones. And then the rest of these hardened SS officers and so on were just exported out of Germany, imported into the States and South America and so on, where they were part of building up the OSS, the CIA, the NASA, the banking system, you name it, they're there. They just changed names for them and got them in and got them working for them.
That seems to be a signature that they, you know, they set things up and then they start another project with a new name. But it's, you know, they're just putting the same things out there. From what you were sharing with us, I know this is kind of like cutting to the chase, but what, you know, finding the same people participating in world events, what would you say is the agenda? It's happening everywhere, right? Who's not playing? Who doesn't have a lot of chaos and unrest right now?
It's done by design, and it's done by a very small group. I mean, we're only talking about a few thousand people. They call themselves the elite, the global elite. I call them the minority or the lightless. You know, there's so few, and we are so, so many. So it's an absolute joke that we are letting them rule. I mean, we shouldn't even bother about what they say or what they do, but they've manipulated themselves into positions of power over decades and decades, generations actually, to concentrate the power to fewer and fewer and fewer, fewer and fewer and fewer companies, fewer and fewer power constellations. And they have been working through secret groups or hidden groups like the Bilderberg Group, also not so hidden, but still the agenda has been very hidden. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Commission of 300, the Skull and Bones, and so on. And it's when you combine these groups, many of the people in one group are members in the other ones as well. When you start seeing who are in these groups and the agenda and how they do it, you will see that it's a big part of like a hidden world government that has been pushing and manipulating this scene for such a long time. So this is why I think this today and now is such a wonderful time, because they have been able to get away with it because they have been hiding in the dark doing all of these things. But now suddenly the spotlight is being aimed right at them. So it's wonderful, I think.
Oh, I agree with you. It's quite a big deal to have all of this exposed, and that's the first step to making a difference, because if you don't know about it, what are you fighting? You know, you can't fight something that doesn't exist. So I'm just trying to feel out and give some perspective to the audience. For myself, I first came in contact with the Codex Alimentarius Commission back in the mid-90s. There was an article written about it. I dug deeper and wanted to learn more, and that was when I educated myself about trade agreements. And I have to ask you a question that was asked of me by George Norrie when I did my very first interview with him. And he asked me, because I was talking about the Codex Alimentarius Commission, the parts that all different countries play in cementing the powers of these trade agreements, do you think we're looking at a genocide agenda to kill people off?
I'm very sorry to say, but yes, that is the agenda, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's
if you look at the mind behind these things, like Agenda 21, I mean, if you looked at it and just read it through, being a normal person, you would say, my God, it's a total lunatic, a total maniac, and a total, I don't know what the medical term would be. Who could even come up with ideas like that? Who could put that down on paper? And then when you see how so many countries have agreed and joined this, this is where groups like the Bilderberg Group comes forward. This is how they pull it off, by controlling a handful of people in each and every single country, because otherwise they would never, ever. I mean, these, like Agenda 21 and the Codex Alimentarius, when you, it's like, I just feel my head wants to explode when I think about the level of madness behind it.
And the degree of preparation.
it is unreal, and it's so against everything that has to do with why we're here, you know, the beautiful balance of nature, the harmony, the design that everything should work together. This is a total, it's like sending in a nuclear bomb right in the whole scenario. It's on all different levels.
Yeah.
And then when you see who the people are who have designed this, for instance, Agenda 21, you've got Gro Harlem Brundtland, who is the former Prime Minister of Norway, Bilderberger, and Maurice Strong, who is very, very high up in the global elite as well, behind Bill Clinton and other people like that. And the whole, then when you connect it with mass shootings and so-called terror acts and all of that, you will see the same key players, but on their side, keeps popping up again and again, you know, before and after terror attacks. Gro Harlem Brundtland is one of them, with the mass shootings in Norway. and so on. It's very, very important, I would say, to become aware of the members in these groups, where they meet, their agenda, if you can get hold of that. In my book, Coup d'Etat in Slow Motion, the last 200 pages, it's 1,100 pages. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I did
no,
not,
that's
I'm,
great.
I'm not fond of writing.
You and my buddy Jim Mars. You don't write books, you write textbooks. Okay, that's great.
No, but it is...
it's important.
it's the only way to explain what is going on.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And this is not a book about my opinion. I've just put the jigsaw forward, you know, mm-hmm. because for many years it was like playing with a jigsaw, but with the picture side downwards. I had no idea what picture I would end with, you know. I just felt, oh, that piece fits over there, that piece fits over there. And then over the years, more and more time passed, and slowly I could start turning the whole jigsaw puzzle around and see the picture. And it was just like unreal, the scale and the magnitude behind this. And anyway, so the last 200 pages are, it's only membership list of the so-called Bilderberg group. Membership list, the places they've been meeting, they meet once a year, and their secret agenda that has...
And we are back. I'm your anchor, Dr. Robin Falkov, and with me is Ole Damgaard. We're talking about what is going on around the world. Everybody seems to be slowly but surely coming up to speed, and it's very frustrating for all of us because we want to make that happen a bit quicker, don't we? So welcome back, Ole. Sorry for all the confusion before. I'll let you take it away. Lay out the groundwork for us so we can see where these 40 interconnect.
Okay, Operation 40, like I said, was created in late 1950s, early 1960s. And the reason why this is such an incredibly interesting group is because they have been very, very active in the darkness, behind the scenes, as mechanics for this global elite. They were, it was just, the idea came and was agreed upon by Dwight Eisenhower, President Dwight Eisenhower. The task was given to Richard Nixon to create this group, and he did that with a small group of hardened CIA veterans. And then the paymaster, the guy who took care of the funds to take the funds from oil tycoons in Texas and from companies like Standard Oil and so on, but also from getting the whole mob involved and so on through Johnny Rosselli and so on, was a man by the name of George Herbert Walker Bush.
Okay.
Now, this group, like I said, they were very, very deeply involved in the JFK assassination. If you want now or in another program, I can go into great details about who the shooters were, where they were located, who were the spotters, radio operators, getaway cars, all of that. But they were also taking part in the Robert Kennedy assassination. There's some evidence showing that they were, at least one of them, were part of the Martin Luther King assassination. And they were... all the Watergate burglars came from Operation 40. They were blowing up Orlando Letier in Washington, D.C. on Embassy Row. They were also part of taking out Salvador Allende in 1973 in the so-called military coup that was directed by people like Henry Kissinger with great support from the CIA, and where Operation 40 was a core group in taking him, killing the president, Salvador Allende, and putting Augusto Pinochet as a military dictator in his place. After that, these key members have just popped up again and again and again and again. They're
okay.
Very, very central in the whole Iran-Contra scandal. I think if I'll just describe the whole Iran-Contra scandal in detail, It's very important to understand what was going on there, because there were weapons stolen from the National Guard under, as far as I've been able to find out, the supervision of Colin Powell. These weapons were taken out there without the serial numbers. And then there was a small company that was working for the CIA that made the parts where the serial numbers normally should be, so that they just got them assembled and then sent out to countries like Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, to the so-called Contra army that was totally created by the CIA and people like Henry Kissinger to knock out the local population. I mean, we're talking genocide on that level. And these planes that was mostly medevac planes and military, big, like C-130s, was flown out from the States with all the weapons, delivered down there under the cover of medical aid. And then they took tons and tons of drugs on the way back. They were mostly cocaine, raw cocaine, that was transported in different type of coolers and so on. And these planes were then flown into the States under the cover of medical aid. And at one time, they were using an airstrip in a small town in Arkansas called Mena. At that time, there was a very more or less unknown person by the name. He was governor at that time. His name was Bill Clinton. And he, together with his partner, Dan Lasseter, were some of the people, together with George Bush Sr. from time to time, who personally were there receiving the drugs. We're not talking like that they had other people doing it. They were there on location, and they had been filmed and so on, doing these things. And then these drugs were distributed out through the American society to the cribs in L.A., to many different the major cities, starting the whole crack epidemic coming from inside. This is so important to understand that these people designed the whole crack epidemic. And the reason for that was to destabilize the American society, to get the crime rates up, 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 to get the minorities to kill each other in the thousands. At the same time, they invested heavily into privately owned prisons so that the more people they could get sentenced for whatever crime, even stealing a bicycle or whatever, sentenced him to 30 years old, the longer the better for them. Because each and every single person that is sentenced will make them a bundle. It's like having a hotel, but you're fully booked for the next 40 years.
Wow.
You know, they and it's the taxpayers that pay all the time for wars, for you name it. Yeah. The taxpayers are the one paying for it. And like, so Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton as well, if you look back in their history, once again, it is unreal, the level of criminality. On my website, lightandconspiracies.com, I have a newsletter, a monthly newsletter, and the edition for July was just the body count of the Bill and Hillary Clinton, how to get into the position they are now. I mean, it's shaking, you know. It's like, you can find about, on YouTube, there's one documentary that's called The Criminal Life of Bill Clinton or something like that. And it will go through a lot of these things connected with the Iran-Contras, with the whole crack epidemic, and also with the Oklahoma City bombing. Because please tell me to shut up if I go on.
No. People need to hear how it all fits together. There are a lot of us that get it and understand. I wanted to share a comment with you from a friend of ours who's with different intel agencies, and his comment, which I'm sure you'll appreciate, is the lie is different at every level. And the way to look at it is to recognize that all of these, you know, some well-intentioned, some who are not, but let's say for those who are, they think they're really doing something good because the guy over them, their boss, so to say, has said, listen, I'm going to let you in on the real story, and this is what you have to do to be of service to your country so we can make it better. And, you know, up the ladder, that seems to travel to get people to do things that they know are not right. Do you see that being replicated around the world?
Totally. It's standard procedure. It's totally compartmentalized. Every single person only know their little task. They do not see the whole picture. And that is done by design like that.
Mm-hmm.
From the whole, I mean, the whole structure of a company, a multinational company or a bank or same thing. You know your part. You think you're doing something good. You think you're working for a certain cause. But the higher up you go, that agenda changes drastically, and fewer people know about it. So this is one of the reasons. And many, I've done countless interviews, and many of these interviews, I speak directly to people in uniform, to soldiers, police officers, SWAT teams, you name it, just for them to inform themselves about whose agenda they're serving, because it really is so tragic. When you see people, especially in as soldiers, enlist with the idea that they're going to do something good, that they're going to fight for freedom and democracy, that they're going to do it for the freedom of their country or defend their country. And then I tell you, sorry to be the bringer of bad news if you're not already aware of it, they're being totally duped and trained into brutal killers.
Yeah.
And the only agenda for that is the incredible greed of banksters and criminals on a level that is unheard of. So this thing about you going to Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever it is you're going with the belief that you're doing something good and that you're liberating that country or you're doing it for the freedom of the state, I'm sorry, it's a major wake-up call. You are there to, as a brutal enforcer, to push forward their deadly agenda. Their agenda is death and destruction. That's it. And benefit for their own. They don't care about you at all. You're just an empty uniform for them. The minute you don't count, the minute you don't fulfill their purpose, you're out. Doesn't matter if you're a general. Even the higher up you get in the ranks, the more of a threat you become to them. So you're not safe there either. Look at dictators and just study history, and you will see when once you get up to a power position, boom, they get rid of you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. You don't play the game anymore, or you're a threat.
And the what is so sad is that all these young people, men and women, they go out there with this big idea of doing something good, and what they do is they soil their soul with these awful crimes and killings and torture of innocent people, absolute innocent people in innocent countries, and they are the ones who have to live with it. That is, yes, why you will see so many suicides. That's where and when they come back home, you know, when they need a hug, when they need someone somewhere to just come home and leak their wound, you know, like heal their wounds and mental wounds. They're left out in the street. They've been tried out for medical experiments. They've been exposed to radioactive ammunition. They have, and I know Chip Tatum, a friend of mine who's he's a whistleblower now, but for 25 years he was a deep cover CIA agent. He was a black op assassin. He was one of the Night Stalker pilots and one of the pilots in the Iran-Contras whole thing. And he was also the commander of a very, very secretive hit team called Pegasus, directly under the control of George Bush Sr., assassins. And they did at least 17 assignments globally where they took out people in other countries. Not a beginner.
Yeah.
And he says that, you know, it's a matter of business. They see it as business. You think that it's the States, the England and Germany. No. In their world, business. And they want to rule the country, the world, as a company and get rid of everybody that they don't need. And the rest will be used as slaves. It's an awful truth, but that is the way the agenda looks. They want... I tell you, the New World Order, you could just as well change the wording to the Fourth Reich. study world history, you will see the exact same things happening with Adolf Hitler as under Obama. The Reichstag fire, 9/11, the Patriot Act, the Homeland Security. Yes, we can. The whole thing was set up under Adolf Hitler. It actually goes back to the old Roman times, because they used the same tactics as the Romans used.
Well, we see these patterns repeating. And what I find is that in Europe, Scandinavia, even Africa, people are much more patient. They're much more aware of the fact that other countries have long-term plans that are in the process of being achieved, of being realized, and Americans don't get it, because for Americans, if it didn't happen, then they're safe. You know what I'm saying? They don't see that they're the frogs in the pot of water, and the heat is being turned up slowly as they're boiled to death. So what I'm curious about, because I know Americans most, and I apologize if I'm insulting any other Americans or misspeaking for you, but from my observations, most Americans seem to have a very narrow perspective on the rest of the world. And I was quite intrigued by your research, where you connect with the death of Ole. I'm sorry. People are popping up different messages for me while I'm talking. Sorry about that. Where you connect with other deaths and how things all fit together. You know, we can look at these pieces and see a timeline and see, okay, they have to do this to get to that step. So how are you putting it together with Sweden and the death of their prime minister? He was their prime minister, is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
But he was also one of them. He was a Bilderberger, he was part in the Committee of 300 and so on. So he was a double-faced person. He was a man of the people, that's the official story, and he turned into an angel the second he was murdered. But when you look into the background behind the assassination and the whole setup, it is, once again, it was blamed on a lone crazy guy, standard to the template, because they always wanted to be a lone crazy guy. Lone, yeah. Because then there was no conspiracy, no planning, no nothing. And crazy, because he was just crazy, no motive. And by then, eliminating that guy, case closed, bury the guy, and let's move on.
Wow.
When it came to Olof Palme, he was involved in the international arms dealing, legal arms dealing, where the Iran-Contras and Oliver North and all of these things are very much connected. And one of the reasons why he was taken out was because Oliver North approached him and wanted him to change some certificates of manufacture. You know, they had the whole globe almost made into countries that they call red and green countries. Red were the illegal countries to export weapons to, and green were the legal ones. Because by international weapon laws, you're not allowed to sell weapons to a country that is at war. At least this, a country like Sweden is not. So what they did instead, they sold the weapons to a green country, and then they changed the certificate of manufacturer to, in that country, they changed it, falsified it, so that from that country they could export it to another country, and then to another, and then to another, and then finally to the country that were at war. So weapons went straight, or not straight, but in zigzag from countries like Sweden, for instance, in zigzag to countries like Iran, Iraq during the war. It was just a matter of fiddling around with the paperwork, and the Swedish Prime Minister was involved in this. This is not commonly known knowledge, but this is, according to my and other people's research, is the truth.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why he really, really got a lot of people upset, and which ended with him being taken out, was that he refused to cooperate with Oliver North, and George Bush Sr. got very, very upset, and that was part of the whole thing that got the assassination going. There were actually people in Dealey Plaza 23 years earlier. If you look at Dealey Plaza from above, there's one guy, just when the shooting starts, on the right-hand side of the motor cage, there's a man standing with an umbrella, a black umbrella. He's called the Umbrella Man. And there's been a lot of discussion what his part was, if he had some kind of secret weapon in the umbrella. Absolutely not. His name was Roy Hargraves. He was very closely connected to Operation 40, even though he was not a member. But his part was to stand there and show the cross point for the triangular fire, because they couldn't have that all these shooters positioned in multiple positions. They couldn't have them shoot, like for 20 seconds. They needed that everybody shoots now. So when the car moves and passes there, this is the point when the car passes the umbrella, shoot. So that was his point. But in front of him, there's a man called the waving guy, and his name was Felipe Vidal Santiago, very closely associated with Operation 40, Exile Cuban. And his task was later, over the decades, he steps out in the street and starts waving to the motor cage, almost so that he interferes and slows down the limo a little bit. But later in life, he was used by the CIA under the alias of Charles Morgan. That was one of his main aliases. And he was working for a CIA front cover, a cover front company called ITT. And his task was to go to different countries and recruit assassins on a local level. Because very often, when they go and they take someone out in another country, the real team of assassins are flown in at the last point. But before that, you need a local backup, mostly of right-wing police officers, security people, former military people, and so on, that can help with the logistics, like cars, weapon, housing, food, these type of things. But also, you need somebody, a patsy on that level. And very often, this man, Charles Morgan, he went in and tried to recruit local assassins that could take part and later be sometimes be blamed for and take the fall for this. And Felipe Vidal Santiago, 23 years after the hit in Dallas, he was on location in Stockholm trying to recruit assassins for the Olof Palme hit.
Ah,
So
okay.
you get a direct connection there.
Sure.
And also, David Atlee Phillips, who was a very, very high-ranking CIA officer, he was the controller of Lee Harvey Oswald, the guy who took the fall for the JFK assassination. Lee Harvey Oswald was totally innocent. He was actually, I would name him, label him a hero, because he was trying to stop the whole assassination. He was very much involved with the people who carried it out, but he tried for quite a few, more than a week before the assassination to defuse it. Instead, he was the one who had to take the fall for it. But David Atlee Phillips was his controller, and he was the one that painted him black as a patsy, that really make him go
Sure.
down as a patsy later. David Atlee Phillips was also the controller of one of the shooters, the guy behind the picket fence, the man called James Files. He's in prison to this very day and has admitted his part of the whole thing. Some people doubt him. I've spent years looking into it. I totally trust this guy.
Okay.
And but he was also the controller of another man called Michael Vernon Townley. Now, Michael Vann Townley was the son of the CIA chief in Chile, and he was recruited by the CIA at a young age and became a major assassin, carrying out so many assassinations globally. He was part of taking out Orlando Letelier, like I mentioned before. He was part of taking out Bernardo Leighton in Italy. He didn't die though, but both he and his wife were shot down. And Michael Vann Townley was also on location in Stockholm the night Olof Palme was shot dead.
Ah, okay. Was anybody else there that was present at any of these others?
There you go. We're coming there. We're getting there
Okay. Boy, you make quite a case.
because also Michael Vann Townley was sent down to take part of the overtake of Salvador Allende, which took place on 9/11, 1973. They love these dates. They're really into dates and numerology.
Yep. So
on 9/11, 1973, there was this very brutal overtake and killing of the president of Chile, Salvador Allende. And people, part of killing him were James Files, the shooter behind the picket fence. And he was there when Allende died. And Michael Vantani was there as well. And key people in Operation 40 were then used as the whole, what is called Operation Condor, which was to track down supporters of the Allende regime. They tracked them down globally and killed them and eliminated them, but also training torturers and killers in Chile and so on. And one of the tasks that Michael Vernon Townley, this top assassin, was given by David Atlee Phillips, if you remember the controller of Lee Harvey Oswald and so on, was to form a group, two different groups, that would be part of Operation Condor to take out all these supporters. And two of the members in one of these groups were Roberto Chieme and Julio Mendez Izquierdo. Now, both of these two guys were on location 1986 when Olof Palme was shot dead. Now, you go figure that the odds that of that happening, you know.
Yeah, no, they're slim to none.
Then you have one of the closest friends of Michael Vantani. He's a man called, his name is Stefano Della Chiaia. He's also called the King of Terror. And he was part in the whole build-up of Ghost Army in Europe, all the NATO countries, called Stay Behind or Gladio. He was one of the people when the CIA, who had built up this whole Ghost Army to start with, the whole idea with Gladio was quite clever, I think. They had all the NATO countries build up, create a shadow army, a ghost army, consisting of cells of about eight people in each, were totally spread all over the country, whatever country it was, where they had hidden depots of fuel, weapons, food, radio equipment, all of these things, so that if that country would be invaded at that time.
And we are back. I'm Dr. Robin Falkov. You're listening to Event Horizons. With me is Ole Damgaard. Please be sure to bookmark his website. I know you don't want to miss a thing. It's lightonconspiracies.com. You want to give yourself a lot of time so you can cruise around, explore things, order some of the books. You are in for a treat. We are blessed to have different researchers around the world that are connecting the dots and finding the telltale signs of these conspiracies. So I'm curious, Ole, what would you say was the reason for silencing Olof Palme? What part was he playing that they had to get rid of him?
Robin, I did 9-hour interviews with Red Eyes Creations regarding these assassinations. It is so complex, it is so multilayered, that I would very much suggest, if anyone is interested, to please go to my website or go to Red Eyes Creations and listen there, because this is not an easy answer. I'm not trying to duck or dive and avoid your question, but it's a very, very difficult one to answer.
Then may I ask you, would you be interested in doing a special event for coming on, let's say, for an hour or 2 hours where possible, or an hour and a half, and laying out the groundwork? So, I what frustrates me, Ole? People don't get it that we're the same. Wherever on the planet you're going to look, we're the same. And they need to have this kind of in their faces so they recognize it. Do you see what I'm getting at?
I totally do. And Robin, listen, you don't have to ask. Anything I can do to make a difference for the better, you can count me in. It's just a matter of getting it in the schedule. I'm right there.
Thank you.
Can I just make a comment? I was listening in between the intermission, and there was this voice saying that nature is totally crazy and society, civilization is going totally mad. I would say absolutely not.
Nature is so beautiful in its design. It is incredible. It's like the immune system of the body. It is spectacular. It is spectacular. But we have like a small, there's a, like a growth, a cancer growth that is trying to kill this body. And by exposing it, we, it will be smelly, it will be painful, but we need to expose it so the body won't die. This is what is going on, and this cancer growth, I would label the global elite and the New World Order. I would at the same time indirectly thank it, not saying I approve of their methods or all the atrocities they're doing, but we are, have been so asleep for such a long time that it's our responsibility that this has been carrying on. They're just a small little tiny, tiny group of mostly old white-haired guys. So it's an absolute joke and disgrace for the rest of us to allow this and to allow them to do all these awful things to innocent countries, to the nature, to our air, to, you know, I mean, they're just, they're destroying the whole thing around us.
I agree.
I would say, make this a major wake-up call. You know, this is not a time to poke your belly button and order a new slice of pizza and change channel. I would say turn off the box. Step one would be a very good idea, because the black box in front of you is one of the major tools of dumbing you down, you know. And then start informing yourself and start, if you can, start raising the energy you have inside you. The more you fill your heart with gratitude, and get the stronger, you know, fill your heart with love and gratitude for what whatever it is you have in your life, because we all have so much to be grateful for, the higher our energy will go. And they are trying to push us down, because they are very aware of the power of energies, I tell you. That's the reason why they push us down, push us down, push us down into fear mode, because that is where they can control us. The more fearful we are, the more depressed and anxious we are, the better for them. So I would say, if you don't know what to do, go out, do good, be good, do random acts of kindness, hug a cup, hug a tree, do beautiful things for your neighbor without them even knowing it. You know, pay for the person that comes after you on the toll road, whatever. Boost it, boost it. Like Kennedy said, don't ask what the country can do for you. What can you do for your country and for the world? You know, so this is a wake-up time, a call, big time. Can I also suggest, when you start waking up, it is a very painful thing for most of us to wake up to these things, that to find out that, my God, more or less everything I learned or believed in turns out not to be true. And what happens then is that most of us get very, it's almost like losing someone you love. You go into like first total denial, then you can go into fury, rage, anger, frustration, depression, incredible sadness. But one of the negative things with it, it's a process you have to go through. I think all of us who have woken up are going through the same things. But what happens also is that many of us becomes like so obsessed about finding out what's going on once we understand it, that we start spreading it to everyone around us. And these people are mostly not prepared. They're not open for it. And so the reaction around you from family and friends and everybody would be like, oh my God, can somebody just shut him up? You know, it's too much. Everything is black, black, black. So become aware of what it is you spread out there. Because if you spread out fear and negative and down, down, down energy, you're playing their game. You know, you're helping them. So I would say that the only one you can really change is the one that looks back to you in the mirror. That is the one you can change. And I would suggest to try and start living as an example, you know, show that you can handle this type of truth. You can handle standing fearlessly, exposing this. Because I'm totally against violence, totally against spreading hate or fear or anger. That's not my game. But I am definitely here to totally expose them until the day I stop breathing. But if thing works out the way I'm planning, it will only be a year or so down the road before this whole thing ends, and we're going to the next level of this beautiful, beautiful evolution of human mankind. But we need to keep the faith, keep the focus, and breathe us and work us through this obstacle, or transcend it even better.
Okay, so I have a question for you. What can we do so that we remain viable? There are a lot of people moving away from cities, so that they'll be in quieter communities. There's a lot of concern about the money being devalued, about not having access to food. What steps do you recommend that people take? And we've only got 20 minutes, and we just have to have you back, Ole.
It's a difficult question. I would once again study history, go back a few, like 100 years in time, see how did people survive then?
Mm-hmm.
How did the communities work together? How did the whole thing work? Because before it was messed up, how did country by country be strong in their own way? You know, multitasked, diversity, all of these things, and then go back to that. Start joining together. This is also what they're trying to stop us from. They're trying to ban everything. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, just follow what they try to ban and you will find the really good stuff. They try to ban vitamins, cinnamon. I mean, see, you name it. They're trying to stop us from allowing us to water our plants and collect water and collect food and these things. If you don't hear it, it's absolute madness. But they're pointing the way. So whatever they say, look into it and go the other way. And what if they say, do this, just don't do it. You know, if they say, go fight this war, I say, okay, very well, Mr. Kissinger, I would love to see you in a box of shorts and a pair of gloves on. You go. You'd go with your sons or daughters or whatever. You go and do this. No, I didn't mean that. No, very sorry, then I'm not going either. You know, because it is only by us. I mean, we are running the show for them. We are controlling each other. We are the ones. This is also the thing. We are the ones equipping FEMA camps. They're plumbers, good guys, electricians, truck drivers delivering food and stuff to these concentration camps. I would say every single one of us had to look in the mirror and say, what am I doing? Am I playing any kind of part in this? And if so, it's time to stop it. You know, it's like anyone who makes a bundle selling surveillance cameras, stop doing it. It's a good deal. I mean, I can understand that it's great for you. You earn some money. But what are you doing to the rest of us? What are these border guards? What are the SWAT teams? What are people that are evacuating people or throwing people out of their homes? What are they doing to the rest of us? You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Find out the agenda, and you will also understand it. They do not care about you. You're just a tool, and once they don't need you, boom, you're next in the FEMA camps. And now with these smart meters getting up all everywhere, they're trying from all different directions to push us into the corral. And with mass shootings, I tell you, every single mass shooting and terror act I looked into, I don't think there is such a thing as a terrorist, a real one. They're inside jobs, every single one of them. They have been trained, equipped, and supplied by the FBI and then carried out through the FEMA organizations. These things are set up. They're false flag operations. They're to push forward their agenda through a very old Roman tactic called problem, reaction, solution. You would react too fearlessly if they just push it forward too strong.
Yeah.
So what they do is they secretly create a problem, which is very often, if not always, a very violent problem, a bomb, a mass shooting, something like that, because it needs to work in media. They need the drama, because what they're looking for is the emotional reaction from the population. And the reaction they want is like, oh my God, this has to stop. Something needs to be done. And then the population will turn towards me, who they don't know, secretly created the problem. And then I will say, well, the only way I can deal with this type of problem is by, and then here comes my solution.
Okay.
I tell you, when you see these so-called mass shootings, I mean, every single one of them I looked into, staged events, that it's come to a point where they're using actors. I mean, you go to crisisactors.org, you can apply and become one of these people as well if you want to become part of the next Boston bombing or whatever. I totally do not recommend it, but this is the way it's carried out. And the reason for the mass shootings and for why they occur in the States, mostly in the States, is because you are the only population on this globe that are armed.
Wow.
You're the ones with the weapons. They're trying to push forward this with a mass shooting, saying it's the weapons that are the problems. You have to give them up. Not that some lone crazy guy is mad. How are we going to deal with madness? No, you never hear about that. It's the guns. And you can hear that in media because the way they are set up. Next time I'm on your show, Robin, I will very much go into the template they use, because
sure.
Once you start seeing how it's carried out, you will then be able to pinpoint it right away the next time it happens. Like, oh my God, they're doing it again. Oh my God, they just did it again. Because, with these mass shootings, the way what they want is for you to give up the weapons. And you can hear it on the news. I tell you, the news are so controlled by them nowadays. I mean, it's incredible the amount of control they have over it. And when one of these things happen, within 30 seconds, the reporter will serve you the agenda, the solution. Da, 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 and we need more gun control. Da, 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 da. We need to ban all knives. Da 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 da. Go to war on terror. Da 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 da. Blame the Muslims. Da 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 da. You will see it carried out right in front of your eyes.
Sure. Many are aware of these manipulations for divide and conquer that have been going on for thousands of years, and the creation of a problem which, lo and behold, suddenly they're the good guys riding to the rescue on their white horses to save us all from a situation that they created. I'm really curious for Americans to get perspective, Ole, on how are Europeans viewing this? Do they get it, or are they similarly apathetic where they don't want to know, just leave me alone, let me get through each day?
They are... a great awakening going on. There's also an incredible part of the population being totally asleep. I must say that, though, no disrespect to America, but you have been living in one isolated island of illusion for a long time, thinking that you are the center of the world, and not knowing that there actually exist other countries in the world, many citizens of the States. And also with the agenda that your country has been carrying out in the world. I mean, when you look at this global elite, once again, no disrespect, I'm just showing facts. When you look at the elite, the financial center is in the old town, the old city of London. The religious center is in the Vatican. And the war center is in Washington. And they use this triangular thing, and a lot of things are moving around these three centers in between them and so on. But the war center, which is your part of the whole thing, I mean, we're talking in the States that you are out there defending the States and doing all of these things. You have military bases in more than 150 countries.
Wow.
150 plus countries. What are you doing there? Major question, because you are not very welcome there. And I'm not interested in politics or anything. I'm interested in relieving the world from bullies. And this is what is happening with these military bases. They are controlling these countries. And
wow.
I would just very much suggest to bring your soldiers home and start using all of this incredible amount of money being used to that to feed your own people, to take care of the old people, to take care of the homeless, to take everything can be solved so fast. But the power elite that is in charge at the moment the only thing they want to fund are war, death, and destruction. You know, you say, oh, we need to help the poor, we need to help the homeless, we need to help the elderly and the hospital. No, I'm sorry, we don't have a budget for that. Okay, we need to start a new Star Wars project. It's only $4.3 trillion. You go for it, let's get four of them. You know, there's absolutely no balance. And I think it's so important to understand that the people that you allow ruling you, that we allow ruling us, I mean, because this is on a global scale, mm-hmm. are super, super, super criminals.
Yep.
I mean, when you look into their agenda, the way it's carried out, it makes Adolf Hitler look like a schoolboy. This is the truth. It makes him look like a schoolboy. It is unreal what is going on.
I hear you, and so does the audience. We're fortunate that we get to learn about a lot of cutting-edge information, because the guests and team members are really quite impressive. What you're sharing is as well, and I find it to be so important for Americans because, you know, I'm an American, and yet I can see just how painfully naive Americans are, how so much is allowed to come to pass. What is going on in Europe regarding the TPP and the TTIP? Do they see it as a, you know, one of the final steps for corporate takeovers?
I don't even know what that is. T what?
Oh my gosh, let me get a link for you. I'll send it to you. You can look at it later. It's the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and these are trade agreements that further empower corporations. And let me just, I'll scroll through this.
I know exactly what it's about. It's just another step that they're trying to knock out. All the agenda for this group is to knock out every single country's sovereignty. The world used to be this beautiful disco, like a mirror ball, a disco ball, with small mirrors all, you know, like sending out beautiful rainbow colors with all of them self-sufficient, you know, with the whole structure in place. What they want is to knock the whole thing out and get one big crystal ball without borders of one. But that is not in their agenda a beautiful thing. It is what they are aiming for is a one world fascist state with a one world army. It's the NATO troops and the UN troops united. Not to defend the population, to control the population. They want a one world currency, digital. The reason digital is because then whoever controls the computer that controls your chip or your credit card can just shut you off. If they don't like you or they don't want you or you're saying things, turn you off. They want a one-world microchip population so that they can check everything. They can see exactly where you are, time you, who you meet, where you go, everything like that. And they also want, like we were maybe mentioned before, to depopulate this beautiful world into maybe up to two-thirds. This is going to be done through chemtrails, through vaccines. Please, I tell you, when it comes to health and these things, some of these vaccines are labeled weapons of mass destruction in the patent. It's unreal, the madness behind these things. So please, I beg from the bottom of my heart, before you start pumping these awful, awful, awful poisons into your little babies or children or yourself, don't do it. See who's behind it. See who owns these companies. See who controls them. See why they do these things. Why they get out with these problem reactions, solutions. It could, but then it's called the swine flu or the green parrot or the yellow pink pig flu or whatever they're going to come up with the next time. It's going to be some fancy name, maybe the upside down monk flu or something like that, to scare you into take these awful, awful vaccines that are made so that it's made on a like a 3 or 4 step rocket, so that the first vaccine you take does not seem to harm you. The second one, no, I'm fine, I'm still fine. Maybe some people are getting sick, but not to worry. then the third and the fourth, boom, that's when it happens. But they made that by design so that you will not be able to track it back and say it was the vaccine. It is the vaccines.
Yep. Oh, I agree with you. They lay such groundwork for the undermining of our population. It's tragic.
GMO foods, vaccines, chemtrails, HARP, you name it. I mean, through the water, through the food, through the air, through finances, through wars. They're getting desperate, in my point of view. They're getting desperate and they're attacking from all different areas at the same time to try and get us into this corral so that they can control us.
Yep.
But can I tell you, when you're in a laboratory and you look at frequencies, it's really, really amazing, I tell you, because if you look at a high frequency, and the highest frequency that we know of, that's the one we label love. And that is not love like I really fancy you, baby, if you're nice to me, that type of love. But the highest, the one that people like Jesus and Buddha talk about as love, that's the highest of the highest. And the lowest of the low of frequencies is the one we label fear or pure terror.